Oi, lads, did you miss out on the Jaren's Outpost Kickstarter and wish you weren't such a big doofus? Well, fear not. Late pledges are now open and they'll be open for a little while. So just head to Kickstarter, search for D&Ds for Nerds or Jaren's Outpost and slam that late pledge button.
Although you see no water for miles around, you are, like us, marooned. You're stranded in this sad and lonely place called Barovia. To mix metaphors, we are incarcerated. The fog that surrounds us are the bars of our dungeon, and Baron von Strahd is our jailer. As far as I can tell, there is only one way out, and that is to kill Devil Strahd.
I'll dump the guy down on the ground and be like, this is the fella that was sort of strapped down over the well. I might go check the well.
This time, as you head back over to the well, yeah. Cavendish comes with you instead. Okay. As you walk, I assume both of you are keeping your like.
Yes, yeah, yeah, absolutely, 100%.
You get back over to the well, and you. How do you? What are you investigating?
I just want to first of all like look down it to see what I can see, and then if I can't see anything, maybe I like light a torch and drop it down to see how deep the well goes, just to see. Basically, what I want to determine is, did they pick the well because there's some significance to the well, or was this just like a good place to tie him up?
Yeah, you're like, you know, go under there. That's where the coffin is.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Well, I don't think I described this originally, but the well is, if you imagine, kind of a very classic looking well. It's a small ring of stones bricked and mortared together, and then above that is a wooden shield from the elements with a bucket attached to that. You can see that the bucket is gone.
Mm-hmm.
That element has been possibly broken away. And the old man was strapped to that roof, the wooden part. You look down into the well. It descends down into darkness. The sun is probably well and truly set by now.
Yeah, fair.
So there's nothing for you to see in this level of light. You light a torch, drop it down. As the torch tumbles end over end, you watch it bounce. It falls pretty far. You watch it bounce quite a few times on the inside of the well. And then when it lands, you spot that it lands on not someone, but someone's. There's bodies down there.
Well, I think we might have just found the rest of the were-ravens.
Cavendish, who's also looking down the well, grimaces and says, yes, it's not good to leave them down there. No. We should collect them.
Yeah, you got any rope?
Cavendish takes his backpack off, starts rummaging through it, and he produces 100 foot of rope.
I'll tie it to the thing that the sort of pole that the bucket is normally attached to, and then I'll kind of like wrap it around my hand and kind of get onto the rope and drop it down into the well. I guess I need a torch. I guess I can just, whatever. I light another torch and I start descending down the well.
Cavendish lights he has a lantern.
Yeah.
He lights that and props it in such a way that it provides light up the top of the well as well. And then you watch as he, with that rope, before you do this, he wraps it around himself as well and kind of braces it on himself so that he can lower and raise you as needed.
Yeah. Before I go down, actually, I am going to make let's be better safe than sorry. I'm going to get a pinch of shadow. I'm going to get some mimic guts. Pinch of shadow is for undead bane. A pinch of guts for adhesive. And then let's go another raven feather to make just some undead damaging arrows. Did I fuck it up?
Do you have anything for skill checks, specifically intelligence-based stuff?
I'm out of good boy cards.
Yeah, you unfortunately whiff it. Whiff it pretty badly. Maybe you're making it over the well and you accidentally drop it.
Damn it. Okay. I have more of each. I'll try again. Just thinking, you know, I don't want to get down there, I'm saying as I'm doing this. And I start attaching the first were-raven to the rope, and then all of a sudden they all rise up and then I'm devoured, so.
No, I understand completely.
Just trying to be safe.
No, it's clever.
Yeah. How'd I do with the second attempt?
On the second attempt, you do a bit better.
Oof.
While you're reattempting, Cavendish is just kind of making idle conversation with you. You see him still scanning around.
Ooh.
Bad boy card for me. You continue to make idle conversation with Cavendish.
Yeah.
You completely miss
anything that he's putting down.
Yeah, he puts something down. You do not pick it up.
I'm too busy focused on this. Yeah.
As you complete the potion, not the potion, sorry, the oil to apply to your weapon, and you're about to maybe right as your like boots are firmly planted on the side of the well, you're about to, Cavendish is about to start lowering you down.
Abseil down.
That is the moment where you notice an unpleasant expression on his face, but you have no significant, you do not understand what that is about as he starts lowering you down.
Okay. Whatever. People are pissed off at me all the time. That's
you don't even
fine.
Know if he's pissed off at you. You
that's,
just don't
that's what Pip assumes.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
All right.
He starts lowering you down.
Yep.
All right, that will be a, and I'll give you advantage because Cavendish is helping you, that will be an athletics check.
You just have a climbing speed, don't you?
I do have a climbing speed.
Oh,
that's
do you?
True, yeah.
Oh, well, never mind then. You don't need to make the check. You just slowly start making your way. You descend down into the well. As you get further and further down. Oh, did you say you lit a torch?
Yeah, I would have lit a torch. That I'm
Where
maybe
are you keeping that?
Holding it in my teeth.
Okay, that's.
I am resistant to fire, so if it's tickling my face with the flames.
I'm assuming the torch
honestly,
that you dropped would have burnt out by
yes,
now.
Yes, I think so, yeah.
Probably not.
Okay.
No.
Okay, well.
A torch will burn for an hour. I think that's fine. And there's as you get down, there's no water for it.
Yeah.
Well, there is water, but the water is underneath quite a few bodies.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, so I think the torch down there would still be lit by the time you get
that's
down
fine.
There.
Well, I'll use that.
Oh, sorry,
one,
I think a torch lasts for anyway. It doesn't matter. The torch lasts easily for long enough for you to have fucked up one attempt at an oil, succeeded at a second attempt, and then climbed down the wall.
All right, great. Well, then I won't.
But
bring
you can still
with,
have one in your mouth as well. I was just thinking not even the fire. It was the logistics of holding. Like they're not small. Holding it in your mouth ain't as easy as holding like a dagger in your mouth.
Yeah,
but you have a big mouth.
Yes,
so.
Exactly. I got a big Dragon Ball mouth.
Yeah. Rope is famously not flammable.
That's what I've heard.
I imagine this rope would be purposely treated to prevent it from burning like that. But anyway, you get down to the bottom of the well.
Yeah.
So you get that far down and you can see, like I said, the torch is sitting on top of a body. You can see maybe it's starting to smolder some of the clothes, but the corpses down here are damp enough that you don't think a proper fire is going to catch. You don't think there's any solid ground. Like if you started standing on bodies, you would start sinking.
Oh, no.
There's water still in this well.
Okay. Can I just sort of like investigate the corpses?
Sure. Oh, good boy card.
Yes.
All right. There are four corpses here.
Yep.
There are a woman, a man, and then two, they're all human.
Yeah.
Two like young kind of, adults, yeah, like okay. You might guesstimate 20 and 20, or early 20s.
Okay.
Late teens, early 20s.
Do they look like significant in any way? Like do they, like basically why would they throw these four down the well? Because I know there were more people at the Wizards of Wines.
What do you mean you know there were more people?
Well, like there would have been staff and stuff. These, surely there weren't five people making all the wine.
No, you did well enough on your investigation check. No, this would be enough to run a winery.
God damn. Pip doesn't know how a winery works, I guess.
Well, no, he does. He rolled well enough.
Yeah.
You do. Yeah, you. This would be enough people to run a winery.
Okay.
Well, including, like five people, you know, you're... That's not an easy life, but no life in Barovia is easy. This would be enough people to run a winery of this size, at least.
Do I think that I'd be able to attach one of these bodies to the rope for Cavendish to pull up?
You could, yeah.
Well,
it would be difficult because...
Because like,
what
there's
are
no solid
doing?
Ground.
Yeah.
I'd need a second rope.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. Can Cavendish hear me?
Yeah, he can hear you.
If I let go of the rope, Cavendish, I'll drown. Can you throw another rope down and I'll attach the bodies? There's four people down here.
One moment, let me tie you off.
Okay.
The rope kind of jerks a little bit as you imagine Cavendish is tying it to something. And then, plash, a second rope falls down.
All right, so this is going to be tricky, but holding on to the one rope, can I tie the first body to the second rope?
Yeah.
Or at least attempt to?
I won't make you roll.
Mm-hmm.
You, one by one, slowly take the bodies out of the well.
Mm-hmm.
Each one, as it lifts up, there's a brief moment where you come kind of face to face with this person, and you look in, well, maybe you don't, I guess.
Yeah.
But you, certainly, the faces, if you look at them, confront you as one by one, each of them is raised out of the well.
Yeah. Once they're all out of the well, is there anything else in here?
Would you?
I would look at them, yeah.
You see familial resemblance.
Okay.
Between them and also the person who you found strapped to the well.
Hmm.
You think this was a family.
That's unfortunate. Once they're pulled out, is there anything else in the well?
Once all of the bodies are out of the well, looking down, you see cold, brackish water. I mean, beyond just desecrating some corpses, which you know that the druids like to do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You think that this had the
tainted the water supply?
You don't want to drink this water.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. I think Pip, I stay in the well for a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. Just kind of like, not enjoying it down there, but in some way being like, God, imagine if I could just stay in the well and then I'll start climbing out.
Okay. You climb back up. You see, when you get back to the top, you can see that Cavendish has neatly arranged the four corpses and he's got a blanket lying across each of them.
How did the druids, I mean, they were so good at hiding all these years. The Mordekaiser family, I mean.
Yes, I'm aware of the family. Wizards of Wine's wine was plentiful up in Kuchery if you had the coin for it or script.
Yeah, one of the few little bits of sweetness in all of Barovia. Gone now. We should bury him, I suppose.
Cavendish nods. He wanders back over to the camp and comes back with a shovel.
Who's going to tell the old man?
I don't think we need to make that decision tonight.
Yeah, that's true.
Perhaps tomorrow.
All right, we'll start digging some graves.
All right, you dig four neat graves. I assume Pip, I don't know actually if funeral rites were much of a Gregory Bones' bag.
Wakes, probably.
Yeah.
that's where it was, the post-funeral where you eat little sandwiches.
Yeah, I was about to
and
say.
And have a tea and coffee.
I bet you know perfectly how to cut those sandwiches.
Absolutely. But the actual funeral itself is not really that would be some other religion's job.
Surely it would be a very neat affair.
Yes, well, I mean, I suppose when we had to do it, there would be a very neat way to do it. Yeah,
people worship Gregory, but they would die.
They do die. That's a good point.
So there would be, I would argue, that there would be some level of, like, funeral.
Yeah, well, then maybe I perfectly, with the shovel, cut, like, the most geometrically ideal graves. That are the exactly, obviously, we don't have measuring tape, but if you did, you'd be like, that's exactly 6 foot.
Mm.
What the hell? And then bury them.
This is probably not a Gregory Bones thing. This is just I wouldn't necessarily even call it a custom in Barovia, more like a necessity. When you put the corpses to rest, you also put a heavy rock on each of them.
Absolutely.
And then covering them with soil. Cavendish acquires four more smaller but still large rocks, and you see he carves kind of just like a generic sort of, because you don't know who these people
are.
No, really.
Yeah,
he carves a kind of generic like epitaph for each of them.
I might go make that steak. I can meet you back at camp.
Cavendish nods. Yes, I think I would appreciate a moment alone.
Sure. All right. And I'll head off into the woods. Not too far away. I still want to be able to see the camp.
Yeah.
And I'll snap a bit of wood off a tree and start carving it into a stake to kill Kulova with.
Okay. You come back with a stake. By the time you get back, Cavendish has had his moment alone and everyone's back at camp. A merry fire is crackling. And you can see, rather than talking loudly, both Gorob and Lushan are chewing on a very chunky, heavy, thick piece of jerky. It's the one piece of jerky. They are threatening to Lady and the Tramp each other.
Awesome. Well, I just come and sit down. I assume Cavendish has explained to everybody else in the camp what just happened.
You could see there's a somberness to the mood. You imagine he might have, yes. Yeah.
Well, then I just sit down
and
enjoy the warmth of the fire.
Cavendish, while you're doing that, Cavendish is kind of pressing Tarpos for information, getting her to kind of draw a map in the dirt, and you can see he's semi-strategizing.
Okay. Well, maybe while he's doing that, I'll crack open Emmanuel and I'll read through the vampire flowchart.
Okay.
For my own, for Kulova. Let's see if I can
just
find
to
it.
Make sure that, it's all good.
That we know exactly what we're doing.
It's a forest vampire, but it's also
what am I doing? Tearing
up your Emmanuel.
Yeah. Does the Dracula live outside? Yes, but that leads you to city places, which is inaccurate, so no. Does the Dracula live near sea level? Yes. Does the Dracula live near somewhere green? Yes. Does it stand in open water? No. Does the Dracula yearn for wide open spaces? I imagine so. Place with many trees can turn into a giant elk. Did that. Fucked us up. Cannot enter home uninvited. Yes. Knows when you enter its forest. So that's what I'm assuming is the situation. Well, where did I get the idea of making your own steak?
What's also nice with the flowchart is that you can kind of work backwards as well.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
As soon as you, you know, notice them turning into an elk, you're like, ah.
Ah, okay. And then what do we need?
This way. Like, I don't know if they want to stand in open water.
Yeah, that's but it does become an elk, and yes. None of the others do, so...
You can see that the old man, someone has put a blanket, presumably Iona, has put a heavy blanket around him, and he is, all of you are sitting around the fire. He is also sitting with you at the fire. He's shivering, but you don't think from the cold, and he's not making any noise now.
Okay. Pip's not pressing him. That's not his business, you know? Pip, I think, is literally just reading through a manual. You can see Castle Ravenloft from anywhere, can't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then very occasionally glancing up at Castle Ravenloft, doing a little head shake, and then going back to Emmanuel.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all I do the whole night until everybody goes to sleep.
At one point in the night, Pip, you hear the crack of a gunshot, but no one comes to get you.
Oh. Well, I roll out of bed to see what happened.
Cavendish, you can see, is reloading slowly.
What's wrong?
He looks over at you and he says, "Wolves."
Okay. You're all good? How many?
I'm not sure. I just saw a pair of eyes in the night. Roughly wolf height.
Okay. Do you need... Here, I'll sit up. I sit up at the campfire, and I scan for the wolves.
Looking around, you don't see any sign of wolves? Not from where you're standing.
Regular wolf height? Direst?
I
do with my hand. I do where each the eyes would be.
He looks at you and kind of shrugs and says, "I don't know really how far away it was. I just saw the eyes."
Okay. Does it feel like there's something unsaid happening here?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. You can see Cavendish is very calm about everything.
That's weird.
Unnervingly calm.
And your gunshot scared it away, I'm assuming?
Yeah.
Okay.
We can go hunting if you want.
No, I don't think so. You feeling all right?
Yes, I'm feeling fine.
Okay.
What do you mean?
Just checking.
Tarpos, Gorob, and Lushen are also getting... Well, you hear before you see Gorob and Lushen. What the devil was that? Devil, do you mean your mother? And then one of the tents starts... Like, kind of rummaging back and forth.
They're getting worse. They're getting worse.
Iona, standing next to you, Pip, what is the matter?
Cavendish thought he saw a wolf.
Where is the old man? She starts looking around, a little bit of panic in her face.
I look around, too.
You can't see him.
Do you know where he went, Cavendish?
Cavendish looks at you and he shakes his head. I didn't see him.
Do I believe him?
Get a good boy card, yeah.
Okay.
He still seems very calm. Like, he's not terribly worried. Iona looks at you, Pip, and says, "We should form search parties quickly."
I'm so suspicious of everyone.
Yeah, what does he say, like, with calm? Is like, is it a magical calm?
I don't know.
Is there emotionally
a spell
calm?
Over them?
Is he just, like, chill? Why is he chill?
Tarpos also standing up. She chimes in. She's just come into the conversation.
Yeah.
She chimes in and she says, old, where?
He's gone missing. People are suggesting a search party, which maybe is a good idea.
Tarpos nods. She doesn't really say anything more than that. She's kind of like, almost like she's waiting for someone else to take charge there.
Well, does anybody have a spell? Maybe that's safer. Some way to detect somebody out there in the darkness, in the woods.
One of the tents tears asunder as the engineer in his mech bursts out of it.
Of course. Do you have... Is that why you burst out of your tent, or are you just...
The engineer looks at you.
I wasn't privy to whatever's happening a moment ago.
Okay.
You have control of this situation. Let me tell you,
Pete. Cavendish. Yeah. Cavendish steps forward, maybe sensing that you're kind of hesitant.
Yeah.
Search parties would be good. The engineer, Tarpos, can head in one direction. Gorb, Lush, and Iona another. And he's pointing in the directions. And Pip, you're with me.
Okay.
You head... How many groups is that? Is that three?
Three.
Or four? Yeah, three. You head in roughly... Like, the way he gestured, he would have placed or spaced as much distance in between as possible to try and cover as much space as possible.
I think I have my crossbow. Pip, something's wrong.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Pip's just so paranoid as a guy that he's like, someone's about to betray me, or is more likely actually Cavendish is under some kind of effect.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of what Pip's thinking. Some creature, some monster has him in his...
I like to think that he's just kind of like, this is him going military, like this is his military training just kicking in.
Yeah.
And you're not stepping up.
Absolutely. So I think there's a good chance that's what's happening.
And like
too.
There's nothing magical. There's no paranoia here, but Pip is so worried.
Yeah. That he's like, I'm about to be shot in the back of the head.
Cavendish, similar to you, has his weapon at kind of a low ready state. Mm-hmm. Like it's in his hands. He's pointing it, but not in any direction. He's aiming specifically so that he can bring it to bear very quickly.
Yeah.
But both of you are being very aware of the, weapon safety
Yes, of course.
Anyway, now, so if you and Cavendish are walking kind of next to each other, would you walk perfectly side by side, a little in front or a little behind?
I think Pip purposefully takes this a little behind.
All right.
I'm covering our tracks is sort of the way I'm acting about it.
So do every now and then, when you say you're covering your tracks, do you mean you're checking behind you every now and then?
Yeah.
Okay. At one point, when you check behind you, you see a pair of eyes.
Okay.
They are glinting in the darkness behind you. They disappear almost immediately, as they appeared, but you recognize them definitively as being roughly wolf or dog height.
Okay. Can I...
It's hard to judge. Once again, it happens very quickly and at some enough distance that it's hard for you to tell in the darkness how big this thing was.
Okay. Well, I didn't hear... I've heard no howling.
Mm.
So not a direst wolf. That's my assumption. But it could be a regular dire wolf or just the wolf. Well, if I see the eyes, I smack Cavendish in the back.
You try to, and you hit nothing but air.
Mm. I swivel around, well, kind of keeping my eye to where the wolf eyes were, I swivel to where Cavendish was.
Cavendish isn't there.
Cavendish?
No one responds.
Of course. Yeah, of course. All right.
You hear, from several directions at once, growling.
Okay. Do I have a torch?
Pep. Pep. Mandarin.
No.
What the heck?
Out of the darkness.
I killed you.
Half of its face torn away.
I fucking killed you. Fuck this place.
The huge, looming menace of Boris appears.
I killed you.
Pip!
I killed
Mandarin!
Boris leaps at you, Pip.
Oh, fuck, dude. Come on!
Boris plants two... meaty paws on either of your shoulders and knocks you to the ground.
Ah!
You immediately smell the stench of decay and death. Boris is not a living creature.
Yeah, of course. Typical. Okay.
Fighting with Boris, Boris leans down and snap, 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 snap is trying to bite. You have both of your claws, both of your hands on each of Boris's top front paws, trying to wrestle with him. You manage for a brief second to throw him off you. You sit bolt upright, Pip, and your head bonk, smacks the top of the tent.
Oh, thank God. Oh, thank God.
The night passes by uneventfully.
Oh, thank God. Okay. I fall back down onto my bedroll, but I probably don't sleep the rest of the night. Oh, you, thank God.
Well, yeah, it's Gorb and Lushan, who are in the same tent as you.
Why did I do that? What today. You fucking picked a short straw? What when the
you
hell?
Were, when you were away sharpening the wooden stake, they'd already decided who was sleeping and what
tent. It's a wonder I got to sleep at all.
Yeah, their lumbering snores keep you up the rest of the night. If not, the what just happened would keep you up.
Honestly, I'd probably leave the tent and go sit by the smoldering fire until morning.
Okay. Yeah, the night passes by uneventfully.
Jesus Christ, Adam. Come on, man. Don't scare me like that.
The next day, Hector,
you...
It wasn't like a night of hard drinking or anything
Well, I'd like to... Because similar to, I guess, with Pip making... I'm assuming we would have also done... Like, I don't know how quickly Bobbitt would have gone and spoken to Gretchen and to kind of, like, calm them down.
Yeah.
But in that interim would have been... Maybe with Rahadin's, like, assistance, would have started digging graves. Would I know enough about, like... werewolves,
yeah,
to know like their burial rites. I know they do worship the god, like they do
the
that.
I believe you found her name.
I think we did. It was like,
I think you did know her name, but I don't think you'll know her burial rites. I don't think you rolled that well. Certainly, I'm saying it's an obscure enough religion, and I doubt you were taught this at seminary.
Fair enough.
I just don't think they would have done that.
Well, I guess in that case, because I knowing about Barovia and knowing that like gods are also trapped in here as much as we are.
Mother Night is her name.
Yes, like the great hunt and all of that. It would be, so like getting all the bodies out, maybe even asking Rahadin if they might know of like the burial rites of Mother Night or the werewolves.
Rahadin, he might know something actually. No.
Okay. Never mind then.
Rahadin shakes his head sadly and he says, the master did not feel fit to inform me too much of the werewolves' religious rites when he sent me here. It was more of a political endeavor.
My apologies for that. Is there other, I guess, werewolf tribes around?
There are no tribes such as this one. But there are, well, no, I speak a lie. There are tribes, but they are not of Barovia, and they will be hostile on sight to certainly me as an agent of Strahd. That might sound strange to you, that a werewolf would be hostile immediately to an agent of Strahd.
What? Right. Why would... I thought all the werewolves were...
All the werewolves of Barovia are, but there are places beyond the mists do lead somewhere.
Right, and you can walk between the mists?
I could, should the master allow, but...
Right, of course.
He has not seen fit to... It is not within my purview as his servant.
Right. Right. Well, I guess we'll start digging some graves. Start digging the graves for the werewolves. I know enough to do the whole, like, you know. No, it would be,
You would know funeral rites for gnomes and penny or
worshippers. Yeah, of course. But, would it be graves or would it be... I've been around in Barovia enough now that I'm like, it's a fire. Like, we build a pyre, right? Because you don't want them coming back.
That is smart.
You probably would have seen either a variation of the bury them, put a heavy rock on them, or a funeral pyre would be common as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of goodies.
Yeah. You don't want them coming back, dude.
When you have seen funerals occur, you've seen a lot of bodies, but you haven't seen as many funerals.
Yeah.
When you have seen a funeral occur, it would be a variation of either heavy rock if you're being buried or a pyre.
Yeah, okay. I think we did. Yeah. And considering there are five werewolves, now just five. Human bodies.
Beings, nude humans.
And then, and six almost werewolf. I would start building a pyre.
While you're doing that, Rahadin, I don't think there's enough space on a table, but he takes all of the bodies and he neatly arranges them. And you see as he's doing it, he finds just somewhere, he finds like a saucer, he fills it with a bit of water, and he starts washing their hands as you do what you're doing.
Okay, yeah, I imagine we'd try and do this like probably at the front where it's like, a bit of open space so we can actually do all this.
Maybe actually because Bobbitt and Gretchen are there, maybe you do it where you had the meeting with Emil. There's that outside platform because it's it's open and then they don't have to watch.
I guess.
Do you take Sir Felhart as well?
Probably not. I'd be doing this with
the five
OG werewolves.
Okay. Yeah,
and I'd be waiting for Bobbitt to have the conversation with Gretchen to then have a conversation with them to be
the funeral. Probably their conversation probably takes longer than your funeral. Yeah. You hear every now and then from Gretchen you could see actually from your vantage point, you could see they're sitting on a stump a little ways outside of the cave. Mm-hmm. You could see Bobbitt and Gretchen are sitting talking to each other. And at a few moments, Gretchen kind of like throws herself into Bobbitt, like wrapping around him, hugging, crying.
Mm-hmm.
And Bobbitt comforts her as best as he can.
Wait for like, I guess, a lull in their conversation to before joining their
conversation. Well, that happens. You walk over to where they are on the log.
Sorry, I really do wish we had met under better circumstances. By the way, I am Sir Hector. I guess at this point you could probably call me Sir Hector Wolfsbane. Certainly killed more of them than I have a dragon. I am Sir Hector. I am a knight of the cloth, serving gnomes in Penya from Candor. Believe you are also from there?
Sir Gretchen nods and she kind of stammers through. Sir Gretchen, order of the roads, knight of Gulliver.
It's a pleasure to meet you. Do I recognize any of that?
Yes and no. Okay. You recognize, she's saying that she's also, like you, a knight of the cloth, obviously. Mm-hmm. She said those exact words. But she said that she's from the Order of the Rhodes, which you do recognize as a now like long. This would be the only way you would recognize this order is from like being taken through some great hall with the heralds of all the orders, old and past and present. And there would be a section devoted to orders that no longer exist.
Of course.
And the Order of the Rhodes is one of those ones that no longer exist. She is a paladin, if you will, or just knight, of Gulliver, a dead god.
And
Gulliver
and
was killed for you?
A long
time ago, yeah.
So I'm guessing, just to make some like real big leaps here, a knight of the road, that would be perhaps the King's Road, which I'm assuming would have been, you know, a great undertaking at some point in Candor's history, which would have been like, it would have taken maybe either multiple kings under their like ruleship to be built. And I'm assuming that they would have been like, we need either protection of like when we are building that road. And then of course, protection of people traveling that road until it is more established. And I'm assuming that that would have taken generations maybe. So I'm just trying to think, would I know who maybe like the kings at the time, who that might have been?
There were a lot of kings. Like
I'm assuming there would have been probably too many.
A lot of kings, a lot of queens. Yeah. There are so many that it's not so much, I don't know all these names. Mm. It's more, there are so many names that I couldn't even guess which one she would know.
Gotcha. Right. And Gulliver is the god of, I know it's a dead god, but it was the god of, travel.
Yeah.
Okay. And did another god rise up to replace them? As in the god of travel, or were they just that god was dead and now there is no more, there's no longer a god of travel. It's now something else.
So the story goes that the god Gaz, the god of assassins and death, was once a mortal man. And his motivations vary depending on who tells the story. In some variations, he did it out of delight, out of pure malice. And in some variations, he did it specifically to become a god. But the assassin Gaz slew Gulliver and drank his godly essence and then gained godhood himself by doing that.
Right. Okay.
Whatever the case, he killed Gulliver.
And he's become the god of assassins.
It's a terrible moment. Basically, anyone who had a connection, a divine connection to Gulliver, any cleric or paladin or any similar, it drove them insane.
I see.
There was like a lot of chaos in that moment. as basically a percentage of the population in Kandor all at once and randomly scattered just went nuts.
Okay. Was there like, is there a name for that? Like in history, would there be a name of like, you know, the like, you know,
they just call it the death of Gulliver.
Like the death, like
yeah.
Okay, okay. Hearing all that then, it's just, right. So you don't, you have never, you haven't probably even heard of Gaz.
Huh. She shakes her head slowly.
It is a, I look at her.
Yeah.
I then like, you know, understanding that like, you know, what she's been through. Mm. And I say, a story for another day.
Probably for the best.
Hector, depending, if she gets out of Barovia, depending on when she gets sent back.
Yeah. It's all ticking in my head. Because to be like, well, if she gets sent to Barovia, but she's sent to my time, well, then she's instantly severed.
Mm.
So does that, is that also bad? Yeah,
will that also drive her crazy? Also,
or is it because it's so far away or
that
so
distant? That it didn't happen to her, she comes in like after the fact? Yeah.
Do you feel your connection to Gulliver currently, out of curiosity?
When I
came to Barovia, my connection to Penia was somewhat severed, but there is essences of Penia here, at least a Morning Lord that we can draw on.
She thinks for a little while. I can feel something is, I don't know, something strange, she says. It feels like my connection is frozen, perhaps. It's maybe not frozen. It feels like moving slowly.
He's hoping a sliver of Gulliver is here.
Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure, startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.
So it was your a gesture to Fellheart. She said she was a member of the Crown. Was she also a worshipper of Gulliver?
No. You watch as Gretchen mentally needs to change current tense to past tense.
Yep.
And you watch as that fucking destroys her. She did not. I did not see her observe much of her worship. I do not know if she had much of a connection with the gods. We had only known each other for a little while, she says.
How long have you been a squire for?
A few months.
I'll maybe ask like some like formal, like just very brief, like, you know, training questions about their squireship, like even before they were a squire, all those kind of things. So maybe try and like ground them, calm them in the, if I can find some common ground there, of just kind of like, yes, I remember when I had to do this, had to list off all the fighting different devils, et cetera. Again, if it's a Knight of the Cloth, I'm assuming there would be some traditions.
Yeah, surely. That have passed down. Yeah. All, I mean, fighting a devil doesn't change very much.
Yeah.
You know.
What are you trying to learn from her?
No, not really learn, just kind of
ground
them, get them to sort of like
fall
back onto either their training or to fall back onto kind of like, hey, you are a knight.
Yeah.
We are knights. This fucking sucks. But like,
it's going to happen.
It's going to happen. And, you know, got to get your head on straight.
Exactly.
Oh, bad boy card.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you kind of do it, but you do it wrong. You watch as you send, by getting her to kind of relive her training and a bunch of practiced either mental or physical exercises, you watch as she kind of just shuts off. She becomes nothing but those mental and physical exercises. At least until she recovers from this, you will no longer really be having a conversation with her.
Damn.
Cool. She can give you yes and no answers and not much else.
You're good. This is good. I love this. I love this for me. I love this for Hector. I love this for Zamet.
Me too.
Yeah. Bobbit, meanwhile, has gotten up, and you see he's kind of wandering around. Just in that clearing where the cave is, you can see there's, like, clearly mm-hmm. something on his mind.
Well, Gretchen, if...
You leave Gretchen walking around a tree with, she doesn't have a sword, but like your dagger that you gave them. You see, and it's an old, you would recognize this as well. It's an old trick to teach squires how to keep a steady hand.
Mm-hmm.
You would have them walk around a surface, scratching a slight line into it. And then when they come back around, line should hopefully meet perfectly where it began.
If you'd like to do the... This is a way to combine everything
mm-hmm.
of them just kind of trapped in their way and having a little bit of a minor major.
Way. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can give the funeral rites of Gnomes and Penia to Svelhard, but you were their squire, so why don't you do the funeral rites for Gulliver? That might... So again, getting them to do the training for that. And if there's anything you need... Let me know.
Gretchen, pretty emotionlessly, says,
I head over to Bobbit.
Bobbit pauses as you approach. He looks over at you.
You know, you don't have to go through with this. You're a very, from what I can gather, a good man. You can live. You can take a deal.
I would much rather not. I understand... The impulse to save as many lives as possible, but you must consider the quality of that life. Should I fight this affliction, it will eventually win. And I wish not to live such a life.
Give in.
You misunderstand me, Sir Hector.
Some way.
Giving in to this affliction... is in my mind as much a death as one that you could deal.
Yeah. Truth be told, if I was in your position, would be fighting it every way I could.
If you could meet yourself from before you came to this place, before it changed you, as it... He looks you up and down, as I see it unfortunately has. If that younger self could see you now, how... strongly would it disagree with you? Would they be so horrified at who you have become that they would even fight you? Is that not a different person, Sir Hector? Is that not a death in itself?
I do not think the old me would understand the gravity of the situation. And will this me think I know too much?
Bobbit nods. A big heart will weigh you down.
Tell me about you. If you would... Is anyone out there on the other side where you're from? If you would like them to know anything or say anything to them, I could get you to write a letter. I cannot promise you they will get it, but I will do my best to pass on your words. But...
I am a traveler, a trader, a merchant Do you know the Dry Steps?
Yes, I know the Dry Steps.
You know them as an uninhabited wasteland.
I know the Dry Steps.
I am from a small town there.
That's very strange that there's a town there.
Yeah.
Right, oh.
Not much lives in the Dry Steps.
Mm. Well, you know, it makes sense because it's so far, you know, so long ago.
It's just like,
well, I guess at one point it probably wouldn't have been... You know, uninhabitable.
At one point, it would have been lush.
Mostly a bit dry, but.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Town, right.
We made our money in silks. My family, my father was a fisherman of sorts, after his own fashion. Not a particularly good one, though.
It's so enigmatic. A fisherman of sorts after his own fashion. What's he doing to get the fish? It feels like he's casting a spell directly into the lake or something.
Yeah.
Or he's singing them out of the water.
There are, how well do you know?
Fish or...
No, there are creatures within the sands.
Oh, right.
A worm.
Oh, right. I think I've heard tales of sorts.
My father would, he would, for lack of a better term, fish for these.
Right. Yes, our family is, I come from, I guess, marble, stonemason.
Hmm.
Right, so you didn't
want to... It's a great thing, he says, to build.
Yes, to have a legacy.
Hmm. Bobbitt continues on telling you the story of his family. Those worms that live beneath the sands, they construct small spaces made out of a cocoon-like sort of substance. And that substance can be woven into silk, which Bobbitt, after kind of taking up his father's trade, determined that he could make more money selling that silk instead of selling the worms.
Clever.
Yeah. He began traveling as part of it. He made quite a lot of money doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You hear, he tells you some stories which kind of feel a bit strange to you. Obviously, the world he knows is very different to the world you know.
Yeah, of course.
You pick up on like some small differences. He talks about some elven cities that he had to travel through that you know no longer exist. And you slowly pick up on the fact that the dry steppes are kind of small for him. He sees them as like not a very large desert, whereas you know it as quite a large desert.
Yes.
He talks about some Candanese features which you don't know, you've never heard of. He's never heard of places like maybe when he talks about bringing trade into Candor, you might think of Appleville, which is a very huge trade city. He's never heard of it.
Mm.
And he's also never heard of the King's Trail either, the King's Road, that huge road that runs along the continent.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's not a thing for him. Yeah,
this is even before that.
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
The two knights that were with him, Gretchen and Fellhart, exist. The Order of the Roads, you're right, they were pretty instrumental in the construction of the King's Trail. But before then, their order, the King's Trail, not just offering ease of travel, it also offers like a level of protection.
Yeah, of course.
And before then, the Order of the Roads were who offered protection to wagons and whatnot.
So yeah, I'm a future man from the future. It's like every we got there, we're traveling. I would mention through the King's Road, and they're like, oh, not at all. And I'm like, oh, you were even before that. Wow.
Yeah.
Sorry. Continue.
He seems pretty perplexed at the idea of a united Goldcrest, and you actually even need to explain to him what Goldcrest is. The city, the man, and the nation are way after his time.
Yeah, I guess at some point, but yeah, it's very strange. I am. So Barovia works.
You may be bond over the fact that Bullridge has really not changed.
It's very fun to be like, yeah, time works very differently in Barovia. Yeah. So I am actually, this many years. Having a very, like, bizarre conversation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's funny because you've had a similar one with Cavendish.
Yeah. Now to be on the other foot.
Reverse, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Yes, well.
He's shocked at a bunch of things as well. Like, you maybe tell him you tell him about Mara, the dwarven settlement way, way out, on the other side of the world. He's very shocked that that settlement is on a huge chunk of rock. Like, not as big as any of the major continents, but it's pretty big, like Australia-sized.
Mm.
He's shocked. He didn't know that existed.
Huh. Mm. Yes, I guess the world ends up getting a lot bigger and smaller as time goes by.
Is there much that you would tell him about or anything that you might ask him about his time?
He tells you as well about his
family. His family moved from the dry steppes down to... Also, the halfling nation does not exist for him.
Wow.
Yeah, he's shocked to hear... And you would know, it's quite a commonly known thing that the Halfling Nation exists because outside influences needed a central government to interact with. He's shocked to hear that anyone was able to force the Halfling, roving Halfling families to do that.
And I guess no one was more shocked than everyone else. I honestly think it's more just the fact that, like, I know that I'm going to have to kill this man, and I just don't want him to just, like... You know, I want him to tell his story, and I want him to be at peace, I guess, with it all.
Sure.
And if there's anything that he needs or would like me to do, even if it is in the realm of impossible, i.e. getting a letter to his family, I would do my best to try and do that. And even, like, find out, like, you know, what other, how he, you know, how he wants to go, what he wants to do. He mentioned music before. Mm-hmm. So again, it's this try. Hector's had a rough one.
Yeah.
So this is just, for Hector, grounding this into like.
Let's make this as nice as humanly possible.
Yeah.
Hector, I guess it kind of works out for both of you, but you recognize him recognizing that you're like trying to give him some level of peace, and you see that he on purpose tries to find something for you to do, but it does. He's trying to think of something that he might want.
Yeah.
And he asks you if you know of Snakes Canyon, and you know of Snakes Canyon. It is, in both of your times, it is a city within Teagle Eye where the halflings live. And in Snakes Canyon, there is a grand mausoleum dug deep underneath the earth where some halflings, depending on their affiliations and religious practices and stuff like that, there is a huge grand mausoleum where bodies are interred. And he takes from under a shirt, he pulls out a little medallion. The medallion has a little scene of a kitchen upon it. Table, chairs, a bench with some food which has been prepared. No people, just a scene of a kitchen. And he hands that to you. If you can find your way to Snakes Canyon, the mausoleum from my time will still be there in yours. And if you could find where my family crypt is within the mausoleum, if you could add this.
Yes, of course. I will do my best.
You think if you can escape Barovia, that is a very achievable goal.
So you mentioned that you knew her family. What is your, relationship like? Especially with the halflings and humans. I'm not familiar with how things were, I guess, in your time.
I knew her father. He was a good man. When my family emigrated from the dry steppes to Teagle Eye, we were in search of local contacts for my growing, burgeoning silk business. He operated a way in along in between. He gestures. He doesn't really know this region, the region he's referring to. He doesn't know it is Goldcrest, but he says Goldcrest and Candor, where the Mallowbrook Marsh ends. His family maintained a stop there, and it was advantageous, fortuitous for my caravans to stop there, rest, recoup, and sometimes even change from one beast of burden to another, exchanging one that knew the swamps with one that knew the ironwood forest and vice versa. And I knew Gretchen's father before, when he was just a boy. And then he gestures, and you see he does like a halfling. Kind of smiles to himself and then raises it up to his own height.
I chuckle at that. It's a very funny little gesture. I'm like, yes, I thought you were, when I first saw you in the cage, I thought you were a child.
Yes. There is loads of like dirt and more than a little blood splattered on him. He wipes some of the dirt and blood away, kind of, as he cleans himself up, you can see more and more that he is an old man.
Yeah.
I knew her father for a while. I watched him become a fine young man, marry, have children. Gretchen, obviously, one of them, the eldest.
All right.
And
siblings.
I became kind of, you might say, like an uncle, I suppose, to Gretchen. I was not often around. My work took me places, but I often stayed there when I was in the area. So I saw her a lot. And then as she grew older, she became interested in the gods, specifically in Gulliver, as there was a small shrine there, and there was a priest of Gulliver who taught her her letters and who had a hand in her education. She took an interest in Gulliver through him.
It sounds very nice.
Mm.
Just juxtaposing that with, I guess, yeah, mm. the stories that Pip has said and
yeah.
what I have lived.
Mm. it can work out, I guess, yeah.
Do you mention Pip much?
No, not really. I don't think so. Yeah. Okay.
Well, yes. And then as she grew older and older, the priest of Gulliver passed away and she wanted to take up his post, running the family business and then also on the side maintaining a small shrine of Gulliver there. She went into the church to learn, and as these sorts of things transpire in academia, she found herself there and decided that she would be much more interested in helping wayfarers along the way rather than just at one stop.
It's a fairly green around the gills, it seems.
Yes, this was to be her first.
One of my first outings. Unexpectedly came across an ogre. This did not go well for our troop, but I will do my best to look after her. I would treat her as if she was my own squire. Honestly, probably better than if she was my own squire. We were not treated the best by the knights. It felt like it was a long line of, for us at least, the squires used to do all the shit-kicking work, and not much was treated with, any level of really respect. Respect was something you'd... was earned. And there's very particular rules about what you do to earn that, apparently. And it just seemed when everyone became a knight, they just sort of passed that on. I will be breaking from tradition. Don't you worry.
I hope you know, Gretchen has been through much, but there is a steel to her that I know. Good. Underneath.
She will need it.
Bobbit nods. Well, no use stretching this out.
Well, you did say you wanted a night of music.
No, you're right, he says. In all of this tragedy, I had forgotten, even in the dark times, that there will be singing, if nothing else, about the dark times.
Barovian sunrise is better than none at all.
You sit with Bobbit, and he strums his instrument and sings a little song about a faraway place that you have no context of, but it sounds warm.
Mm.
And then, as the sun rises, with Gretchen wailing in the distance, knowing what is to come.
Do you have a preferred god?
He shakes his head. Halflings have no need of gods.
Do you mind if I say a prayer to Penia?
You can pray to anyone who will listen if you want.
Perhaps in the morning, Lord. I give him a moment to watch the sunrise and silently say a prayer to the morning Lord, and then I'll just...
As the sun rises, all that could be seen is the two silhouettes, the one large, the one small. And the one large silhouette moves with sudden speed, striking behind the smaller silhouette, which almost peacefully slumps forward.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 € pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.